Traveling the Vortex.
We've joined the Doctor as he travels the Vortex and landed at episode number 110. Apparently, I don't need to do any open to make Sean laugh. I'm Keith. I'm Sean.
I'm sick.
Yes, Glenn is coming to us from a cloud of germs and medication.
I hope you have the disinfectant out, because I'm sick.
At least we're not sharing sick microphones.
For days. Yeah, it's true. We're not around the same microphone like we used to.
I'm also sick, but I didn't get it as bad as you, so I hope I don't, because I don't want it. You look a little bit like Johnny Fever when he was in WKRP, when they switched him over to the early morning show. And he was just kind of there over the mic. It's heavy early. It's 5 a.m.
Oh, man. Yep,
so you've had this on Saturday.
It's
possibly before.
It started coming on Friday. That was part of the reason I didn't make it to Friday night. It's coming on. Saturday it hit me full blown. And then Sunday I was feeling better. And then Sunday night I was feeling bad again. And then Monday morning I was feeling better. And I went to work. And then I left work.
Most of work.
Yeah. And Keith had to finish out my shift because it hit me again. And today, fortunately, this was the first like steady day. Like I woke up feeling okay. And I'm going to go to bed feeling okay. So, not the best, but better than worse.
Average.
So, yeah. Of course, this is after, you know, my kids had it for the entire week, too. And we were juggling work schedules to keep the kids home. So, no one has been to any, probably, well, with the exception of today. I guess everybody was sort of back to normal. Because Caitlin missed, like, 4 days of school last week, and Mason missed the one day that she went to school, and I missed work, well, part of work last night. We missed some work part of some work last week, so everybody was fine. No, because Holly was home today, because Caitlin had earache last night, and Holly was up all night long, and I couldn't get up with her because I was sick. So Holly stayed home today. She's like, I'm not going to work. I already feel like I'm getting it, so I'm just going to stay home and rest. And she did. So
that's probably good.
How was your guys' week?
I had my traditional New Year's cold, and I got over it. And Mel got it, and she got over it, and then I got it again.
Oh.
So,
you know.
Yeah. I think I'm finally... Not to be graphic, but I coughed up a lot of junk the last day and a half. So I think I'm finally back on the mend, which excites me because then we're going to Galley next week and I'll get the Concred. So.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Well, and
bring me your poor, you're infected.
You know, in the...
When's Walking Dead back
on? Back in the day.
I'm ready.
Back in the day, you used to get that one really big cold or flu. And then you were done.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like everybody I know has gotten this thing two or three times.
They're saying it's worse ridiculous. This year than previous.
Yeah.
Oh, this is everybody at school sick.
Oh, guess what's
creeping? Everybody.
Guess what's creeping sick. Across the U.S. now?
Captain Trips.
Norovirus.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Norovirus.
That's I was a little worried. That's what Sarah had.
Oh, good.
That's what's, yeah. It's creeping right across the United States. So we're looking for a round of that now. Yeah.
Things to be excited about. Yeah, everybody's sick with it in the hospitals, or either, you know, mom's had it.
Yeah.
So it's bad.
It's bad. I had to be the full blown flu. Cause
yeah,
I definitely
got it worse than I did.
I haven't had
mine's
flu.
Just congestion.
I haven't had flu like this for a long time, and I'd be doing great, and then I'd be in so much pain from all the soreness from my muscles. In fact, when we're doing our interviews today, but we'll hear them in this show. But when we were doing our interviews, I had to lay on the bed like really still because if I move too much, my muscles hurt so bad.
Oh man! How was your week?
I'm bringing everybody down.
Luckily, what'd you guys do? My only ailments are, knock on wood, self-inflicted.
Yeah. What?
I've been having a lot of earwax issues.
Oh.
So I tried some of the drops, and now my ear is all clogged. And,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, don't get an ear infection because of that. You won't.
I won't.
I just won't.
I resist myself from getting it.
Because that's the other thing is with the flu going around, ear infections are really bad. So you may not even get the flu. You just get the infection from the ear.
The ironic thing is it was starting to feel better. And then I was like, well, I'll try more drops in it and flush it out.
Uh-huh.
Back to how it was. I should have just left it alone. Other than that, not much going on. Pretty slow week.
Yay. I suppose we should throw out an apology to all of our thousands of listeners that were coming to you a couple days late again.
Late and not very energetic.
No, this is a bit. I'll be honest with you. I giggled a little bit when you said 110. Our 110th show, which is still mind boggling.
Mind boggling. We still have listeners.
That too.
After all of our tangents.
Because we could talk forever, but.
Doesn't mean anybody might not listen. Yeah.
People are still downloading. That's the thing I don't get. If they were still talking about episode one, I'd be worried. I don't get it. But so 110 weeks we've been doing this, and we have yet to miss a week.
I mean, we almost did this week because we've been late.
Yeah. Fact, I mean, we've delayed things.
If I was going to make it tonight, I was going to have you guys trudge on without me, because I'd still be in the show since we did some of our interviews.
But that in and of itself would have been a first of one of us missing a show because of sickness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not because of out of town.
Right. Yeah. So I hope you all appreciate the sacrifices we make.
We got a great length.
Throwing ourselves on our swords here. Fortunately, mine's dipped in DayQuil, so. But not at night.
Because then it's NyQuil.
No, because then it's scary dream time. And not the all good right. kind of the strange man in the box saying, appeared on my lawn to take me away from all this dream.
Probably should explain that so that people.
Anybody who's taken NyQuil or DayQuil at night knows what he's talking about.
You take DayQuil before you go to bed. It's a scary dream time.
Scary dream time.
Even the gel capsules.
That's your show title.
Scary Dream.
Scary Dream Time. Tonight's episode is brought to you by DayQuil.
Scary Dream Time.
Should be the greatest tagline ever. Scary Dream Time.
I don't want it, Mommy. Please, no, don't give me the orange one. News.
Yes.
We have a bit of news. Unfortunately, we have to start off with some sad bit of news. Most of you probably saw this. But...
Yeah, here's the 10 o'clock stuff.
Actor Bernard Horsfall. Am I saying that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Died at age 82. We posted it to our website January 29th. I don't see a date in the article, so I'm assuming that's when it was.
It was the day of, yeah.
It was, and...
I was on that one.
Actually, I didn't see that until... I think Galley posted
that. Oh,
It was one of those... unfortunately...
A guest scheduled to appear
won't be here now because he died.
But they are going to keep him on.
Has that ever happened before?
Besides,
I think Patrick Troughton actually died at a convention. But
Patrick Troughton died at a convention in Atlanta.
I'm sure it's happened before. But
Mary
Tam seems,
canceled.
Oh,
because of sickness.
Because she was sick. That's right.
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer.
Well, Tam was supposed to be at. Galley this year, wasn't she?
I don't know.
I think it was last year.
It was last year's Galley.
Yeah, it was last year. You were all excited about getting bringing you back.
Yes,
the photo.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, their track record isn't really good right now, is it? But she had canceled, then they had Galley, and then she died afterwards, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It wasn't immediate that she.
It was quite a
well, that
ways
was like
after
2 years ago. That right after Galley was when Sarah Jane and. No, Nicholas Cartley died before that, I think, and then
Liz Sladen
died after, like the week
after.
He was
late January, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And she was...
And she was like the week after Galley.
March.
Because, in fact, everybody arrived home to the news, almost.
Yeah.
Well, for those who don't know...
Yeah, let's just bring this cast down even more.
Bernard Horsfall played Chancellor Goff in The Deadly Assassin.
That was his biggest role.
That was his biggest role in Doctor Who.
Most memorable role.
His first came in The Mind Robber, where he played Gulliver in The Land of Fiction. And he was also one of the Time Lords in The War Games.
Which I'm still attributing.
I think he's Goth.
I still attribute this Chancellor Goth.
I don't know if he's a Chancellor, but that's Goth.
He's much Goth. He wasn't named, but...
He's a...
it's him.
Councilman.
He's a career politician.
Councilman Goth.
Aren't all Time Lords career politicians?
Yes.
Pretty much. And
you either grow up to become a politician, or you grow up to cover the politicians. That's how Gallifrey... Or you leave and you go live outside the city.
That's right.
And become a barbarian.
What were they called?
Gallifreyans.
They were called... They have the name in the...
Invasion of Time?
Invasion of Time. I can't remember what they called them.
I don't know.
He also played Teron the Thal in Planet of the Daleks, opposite Jon Pertwee. So a very sad loss in Doctor Who world. But I saw that Galley is still leaving his name on everything in honor of him.
Oh, that's cool.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
So there might be an empty panel at one point. I don't know if they
filled
that in.
An empty panel, but maybe they'd have a table for him.
Yeah, I bet they will. I think they said something about a table.
That's actually cool.
It's I don't want to say serendipity, but it's weird that they just added him, and we were so excited.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why, because he's not a major player for Who. He's not a companion. He's not a doctor.
But he's in one of our favorite stories.
He's in several of our favorite stories, actually.
Well, that's true.
And I was really looking forward to meeting this guy for some reason, and it really bummed me that he's not going to be there now. So, I mean, we just talked about it. It's sad. But you know who's not dead?
Who's not dead?
Peter Davison is not dead.
Oh, that's good.
Contrary to the news that you may have heard.
Circulating Twitter, of all places.
Apparently, Peter Davison was the victim of an internet death hoax. This is the part that I don't understand. Is this is apparently a tweet that was actually originated on the official Doctor Who Twitter feed?
No, what happened was, from the way I understood it, is that somebody named Give Me a Wristband
@ Give Me a Wristband
tweeted.
Oh, I see. She faked.
Yeah, she faked a tweet from the official BBC
on her Tumblr.
Right, on Tumblr, and then it spread back to Twitter.
That's what it was. Okay,
and it burned across Twitter because everybody thought, well, it's an official tweet because it was she posted the fake tweet on her Tumblr, and it got out of control. Really,
yay, he's not dead.
Yeah, I mean.
I honestly don't understand why anybody ever does these kind of things.
I don't either. I really don't. I mean, I'm all for pranking people if it's funny, but faking somebody's death, other than your own.
That's happened to Bill Cosby 2 or 3 times.
Well, we get a call in our newsroom once a month about Fred Phelps.
Yeah, that's true. I think a lot of people are wishing he would die.
that's wishful thinking.
That's different.
That's hopeful thinking.
I just, you know, other than faking my own death, I can't imagine it would be a lot of fun to fake somebody else's.
Sorry, that just struck me as funny.
Well, I would totally fake my own death, but calling you and saying, dude, Keith can't make it to work, he's dead, I just...
That's not cool.
That's not cool and not funny, and I don't see...
Especially for the fans.
You have fans?
Yes, my fans. That would not be kind. We should totally do
an April Fool's where we're all dead. We'll just start our own.
This just
being
dead.
I don't get it.
Yeah, but the way serendipity follows us around.
That's true.
I'm not going to touch.
Stay away from that altogether. Glenn died of the flu last night. I don't get it. So we're glad he's alive.
Yes.
And the people who perpetrated this, give me a wristband.
Give me a wristband.
You should have your wristband taken from you and slapped with it. That's my opinion.
Okay.
And in a way, this segues into our next story of the first Doctors back to life. Not William Hartnell.
I was stretching, but I'll give you.
But they have casted An Adventure in Time, in Space and Time, and principal photography has started. I just lost his name. Where is it? David Bradley?
Mm-hmm. David Bradley.
Will be playing the first Doctor, William Hartnell, yep. in this docudrama written by Mark Gatiss. As well, and he's not the only name, Brian Cox, who had previously appeared in Who also, The End of Time. I mentioned to you, Glenn, hey, do you think we're actually going to see him now? Because they're kind of casting some Who guest in this, but he's already been on the show.
Yep.
But he will play Sidney Newman. Verity Lambert will be played by Call the Midwife star Jessica Rain. While the director of the first serial, Waris Hussein, will be directed by Sasha...
Played by, yes.
Sasha Dhawan, best known for his appearances in The History Boys and The Last Tango in Halifax. And...
Just today,
they announced Claudia Grant will play Susan.
Who, with shorter hair, is a spitting...
She looks very much like a young Susan.
I think they've done a really good job with casting on most of this. Too. I don't know what the director looks like in real life, so I can't...
Well, he doesn't look like that now.
Well, but maybe obviously. 60
years he was at Galley last year.
Yeah, he was at Galley.
Oh, yeah,
he didn't look like that.
I can't immediately pull to mind what Sidney Newman looks like either.
Yeah, I don't
know. So I don't know if Brian Cox is a good representation.
I've seen pictures of Verity Lambert, but I've never seen... Well, I may have seen a picture of Sidney Newman, but...
I don't know. David Bradley, though. When I first heard it, I was kind of like, really?
Then I saw a picture of him
not in the Filch or Solomon makeup.
In fact, it's his publicity
his
still.
Mugshot, yeah. Yeah.
His headshot. His publicity still, yeah. His headshot looks like...
It really looks like he could pull it off.
Well, I don't think it really looks like Hartnell. It looks like with a little bit of makeup.
I think you put him in some makeup and a wig, he's going to look like Hartnell.
Not to mention, they started principal shooting on it, too.
Pictures of the TARDIS?
Already been started.
Really cool.
That's got to be a surreal experience to step onto that set.
You think so?
You know.
The classic TARDIS set?
The classic TARDIS set. Yeah. And just go, wow.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Ditto. Well, speaking of the first Doctor. Oh, wait, we're not. We're talking about the second Doctor now.
As mentioned before, Puffin is releasing a bunch of e-books for the 50th anniversary, and they've announced the name and author, the name of the e-book and author of the e-book for the second Doctor, which will be The Nameless City by Michael Scott.
I wonder what the name of the city is.
It's nameless. Michael Scott wrote The Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas Flamel series.
The what?
The Immortal Nicholas Flamel.
What's that?
I don't know. It's a series of books that he wrote.
Well, see, now I went and looked up what's his name wrote. You didn't go do your homework
this week.
I did.
It's right here. It's in the secrets.
Yeah, but I went and told you what the other ones were.
But we'd heard of
Artemis Fowl.
Cymri.
He also wrote Billy the Kid and the Vampires of Vegas.
Oh, I know that one.
I wouldn't think so, because it's in the Immortal Nicholas Flamel series. Flamel.
I was going to say, what do you keep saying flannel? It's flamel.
Flamel?
Flamel.
What's a flamel?
What's a flamel? I don't know.
It's the guy named Nicholas's last name. Flamel. It's like Potter. Harry Potter.
What's a Potter?
It's Harry's last name.
See, that I get.
Nicholas
Potter
flannel?
Is somebody who pots. What's a flannel?
Well, Harry, it's flannel. Not Harry the Potter.
It's Harry the Potter.
It's not Nicholas the Flamel.
Is it the Nickleby? What's a Nickleby?
About 5 cents.
Other BBC books have been announced that might have slipped under our radar, but we're now aware of them. And apparently they're all going to be released, at least in the UK, April 11th.
Sorry. Something may have slipped under our radar, but we are now aware of them. It's like the one plane carrying the nuke. It might have got past us, but we are now aware of it.
I may have been maybe watching too much West Wing. The Shroud of Sorrow by Tommy Don Bavand, which looks like... I'm not going to read the descriptions of all of these because they're too long. It features Clara.
Oh, they're already into the new companion books.
She's on the cover, at least. Jenna Louise Coleman is on the cover.
Of course. Does she die within the pages?
Well, we'll find out. The Dalek Generation by Nicholas Briggs.
Ooh.
I wonder what that features.
Clearly, it features Nicholas Briggs.
And from the cover, the Doctor's new wardrobe.
That's his old wardrobe.
No, that's his new wardrobe.
With the coat?
Oh, I guess he does have the coat on, doesn't he?
The vest. That's not his tweed. That's the Tails outfit.
I like it.
I like it, too.
I thought you didn't like it.
I think you would.
I didn't want to like it, but...
Because his pocketbook was going, I don't want to go buy a Tails outfit.
I didn't want to like it, but every set picture I saw, it looks so good. It
does look good.
Also, Plague of the Cybermen. By Justin Richards.
Ooh.
I wonder what that features.
Man, Cybermen and Daleks, and let's get some different stuff. Let's get some different villains going here.
No word, because I haven't read the descriptions either, if Clara features in the other two stories.
Okay.
She's only on the cover in one.
Well,
might be standalones before the Christmas special.
Maybe we can add those to the schedule at some point.
Yeah.
Yes.
April-ish when they come out.
Maybe after the 50th anniversary year is over.
Why are you feeling a little overwhelmed?
Not overwhelmed.
Well, considering my affinity for Cybermen, I might just pick that up and read it anyways without a review.
Okay. You do that. Let us know how it was.
I will.
All right, well.
Dude, it was awesome.
We're getting ready to move on to feedback. So, we'll do some feedback here in a minute.
I don't have a song this week.
What?
Oh.
Feedback. We've got some feedback.
We're going old school.
I'd rather if you gone just said no song this week rather than go back to that. You can't go back.
Boom, 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 boom.
No.
I've got the voice for it this week.
Yeah.
You say it.
Boom, 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 boom. That hurt my throat.
This edition of the feedback song brought to you by The Crud.
I had great aspirations and many plans for this week, and then I got sick. And then you got sick, and then we had interviews, and then the interviews fell through, and then they were back on again, and then we got sick during the interviews, and it was just kind of like, I don't have the strength. I'm just going to show up without my homework done and go, sorry. It's easier to apologize.
It's true.
Oh.
Well, who? Next week, there will be a phenomenal new feedback song.
You promised. Now you have to deliver.
Darn it. Oh, and it's a short week now, too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You only have 4 days.
And it's galley week.
No, next week's galley week.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because I'm not packing this week or anything. More on that later.
I guess you're going longer than I am. It's going to take me like 10 minutes to pack my
bag.
Well,
I'm packing for two people, and one of them has decided to cosplay.
Uh-oh.
More on that later.
All right.
Our first bit of feedback, and only
I bit of feedback. Say our first and our last.
Comes from Chrissy.
See, this is another reason not to do a song. I would have had this totally awesome song prepared.
For one
piece of feet. Not that Chrissy's not worthy, because she is, but, I mean, she is our number one fan still. Why do you say it that way?
Why do I say what that way?
Chrissy's our number one fan. Again. Still.
I think all of...
Good.
All of,
good.
All of our listeners... are equal to each other, and no one is better than anyone else.
Lame. There will be blood tonight.
Chrissy writes,
it's not a show unless we pit them against one another. and cause them to fight.
This isn't a show, it's a blood sport.
I hope everybody else out there is finding this Lions as amusing as we are.
Making lots of money off of it.
The Hunger Games begin.
Okay. Chrissy writes, Super Bowl, my team lost edition. Dear Vortex Boys, this will be short this week. Just got back from a Super Bowl watching party at my sister's, and we're all kind of bummed that 49ers lost.
That sentence wasn't nearly as cool as it turned out to be, because I read, just got back from Super Bowl and went, watching party. Oh, never mind.
But I hear Alex Smith could be heading to Kansas City next year. And I would actually be all right with that. Hope you guys are too. Can't get any worse for the Chiefs, can it?
No, that's
are you all right true. With that because you're sending off a bad player?
No, it's actually Alex
Wait,
Smith.
Wait, our listener, Alex Smith?
No.
He plays? I thought he was in...
no, but...
He plays football.
No, but... You
know, one-up me there. I had a whole thing ready to go, and you're just like, football, I'm done. It's better than nine. I really hope you guys think we're funny tonight. We think we're funny tonight.
I felt like I was watching the Super Bowl with... I felt like I was at the party with Chrissy, because she was tweeting online, so I was tweeting
right along. You were blowing up my phone.
I was trying to do homework in the middle of all that. It was like... Just kept looking down at my phone. Super Bowl tweets coming in.
Tweeting back and forth.
And then the power outage happened. I was like, cool. Maybe I should be watching this.
I really thought about tweeting when you retweeted the... I can't remember what Doctor Who person you retweeted. And hey, the lights turned out. Don't blink.
Yeah.
I thought about tweeting, hey, shouldn't that be don't turn off the lights?
Who turned out the lights?
Somebody did
the lights.
That one. I saw somebody, that one later.
And that's
did,
what the joke should have been.
They did one of those and posted a meme where it
I
had
didn't see that.
Vastor Narada.
So here's a question for you. You're at the Super Bowl. You've paid an ungodly amount of money for these tickets. Your team's getting shellacked at halftime. And Beyonce comes out and performs what I understand was either an all right awesome show or a terrible, terrible rendition of something. And so you're sitting there.
That's good.
And the lights go out. Now, at first there's that, the lights went out of the Super Bowl. Well, that's kind of cool. 10 million iPhones come out. People are tweeting and hey, the lights are out of the Super Bowl. How long do you sit there before you start to get a little weirded out? I mean, with everything that's going on.
Well, and you don't hear the announcers either.
Yeah.
Because that side of the stadium was dark.
The announcers were still there. The television announcers were.
Oh, okay. Because the press box was dark. I thought they were both in the same area.
No, the press box was dark. They still could make announcements.
I mean, it's a technical problem. We'll be right with you. It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, how long before you start to get a little weirded out? Especially when I saw the one tweet.
And how long until the mass
Bane
stampede
is here? I'm sorry. If I'm in the Super Bowl and I see a tweet come across my phone that said it's Bane's fault, I'm ready to leave the game now.
Well, it's funny because everyone in the stadium was safe in that instance.
I'm watching this thing.
The mayor wasn't. He blew up the press box.
Well, the press box.
I'm watching this thing, and I mean, they're literally in the middle of something going on, and then they switch camera angles, and they're like, what's going on? And the announcers just go dead. There's no announcers or anything. And then you see what looks like lights go out, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then I hear my phone go off, and it's somebody that I know, and I look down, and it goes, oh, my God, it's Bane. And I'm like, and I had one of those moments of like, no, it's not Bane, obviously, but are terrorists attacking our Super Bowl?
I mean.
And I go, wow. And so... And then they go to commercial break. So then there's no resolution. You're just sitting going,
explanation.
Oh my gosh, now we got to wait until we come back. So then, of course, I'm on to Twitter again because I want to see if anybody knows what's going on. And
I just
here's what here's
a surreal
okay.
experience,
well, listen,
I would think.
It all totally makes sense. What do you do when you've got the biggest game of the year in NFL? You've sold ads for $4.2 million to all of these advertisers. And you've got a game that one team is blowing the heck out of the other team.
So you're saying it was intentional.
What do you do? You wait till your halftime show's over because it's going to be the biggest halftime show possibly ever, which it was. It was a really good... I'm not a Beyonce fan. I was blown away by it.
I wasn't impressed by the audio in it.
Well, the problem is I thought the audio was bad, and then I went and figured out that if I turned off my dynamic sound on my TV... It actually leveled out, so I think I had some settings wrong with my TV. But
it sounded weird to me.
Did it sound weird to you? Okay. It wasn't all my TV, but... So, But a really good performance. And then after halftime, when they come back, then you maybe put a little drama in there so that, because, you know,
you let a squirrel
loose. What are you gonna stick around for? We've already seen Beyonce. The score hasn't changed. In fact. I think the Ravens at that point came back
with a touchdown instantly.
I know they ran a kickoff return touchdown. So what do? You turn off the lines. Start people thinking, hanging around. And they're at least going to hang around for 35 minutes until we turn these lights back on. Not to mention we might give the other team just enough energy or rest to do something. And guess what happened after the lights came back up?
They finally did.
San Francisco scored like 3 touchdowns. So
in 4 minutes,
it was
something.
All calculated. Oh, I don't think it was 4 minutes.
Oh, it was an incredible.
It was in that third quarter, though. Yeah. It was all in that.
Bam, bam, bam. the best tweet, honestly, that I saw all night regarding the whole thing is, "Wow, whoever made the decision to hit the Buffalo Wild Wings button, good call." Somewhere Buffalo Wild Wings is going, we got to be able to use that. We can steal that. I'm sorry. Continue with...
I think it was a calculated.
You think it was calculated?
I'm a conspiracist.
Did you also believe that Beyonce threw up an Illuminati sign?
No, I saw that too.
That's been circulating Inside Edition for the last several days too.
Whatever that is, I don't... that's it.
But it was like this because she was holding the microphone?
I think it was definitely... That's exactly what it was.
The Illuminati turned out the lights.
She continues.
Okay, I'm done with my show. You can turn the lights on.
That's the signal. What are we waiting for?
She continues with, I have one comment about the new feedback jingle.
Well, we didn't have one this week.
Well, that's her second comment. I think you should cover some Kansas songs. Well,
now you have a suggestion.
They're just as good as Queen, and it would be fitting for the podcast, unless that's another tired old joke that people from Kansas don't like, in which case, just forget it. Hey, at least I'm not making Wizard of Oz jokes, that's just too easy.
No, actually,
carry on my feedback submitter.
A fantastic group, not as good as Queen. B, but you don't hear a lot of jokes about Kansas because of the band. We don't hear that a lot. So
I think most people don't actually realize that they're from Kansas.
Oh, and I know Kerry Lupgren. Yeah,
they're
so.
Actually from Kansas. So.
From some of them, Topeka.
Yeah, most of them are from Topeka.
Yeah.
In fact, Kerry still lives in Topeka.
Yes.
Well, he's in Burlingame. Or Barrington.
That's Topeka. Well, I guess that's true. Though. Barrington is actually... But he hasn't been in Barrington for too long because it's only been 5 years since he moved down there.
Are you sure? I thought he was down there when I was married to Kerry.
No, Kerry Lipgren is the lead singer.
Yes. If you don't know.
We all know this because we live in Kansas.
Actually had a stroke a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he did. So. I've got his autograph. Not on a Kansas album.
I used to trade Star Wars toys with his nephew.
What's his nephew's name?
Jake.
I go to school with Jake.
That's probably the same guy.
Jake. I have Jake in my digital filmmaking class.
That's his uncle. Well, that's Kerry is Jake's uncle.
Yeah. Not vice versa.
Right.
Not a Philip Jake Fry thing going on. That would be weird.
Anyway, yes. No, we all have a connection to the band. In fact, and so does Keith has a connection to Kansas as well, because our editor at work was a roadie.
Oh, yeah, that's
was
right.
A roadie for Kansas.
Oh, well, I knew somebody else that had a connection with him, but I can't remember what his connection was.
We are connected up the wazoo to Kansas.
Yeah, Dave was a roadie for Kansas so back in the day.
It was
many
a Tuesday.
Moons ago.
Yes.
It was a Tuesday.
And I've seen old school.
And he has some great stories about it, too.
And Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sings Kansas in that movie. Right. So that's another one.
All right, carry on, my wayward son.
Oh,
that should be our talk. That should be our theme music every week. Carry on, my wayward son.
Probably this week it should be.
She continues with, and I did like the Happiness Patrol more than my feedback last week implied. The story was fine enough. Just that I thought the plot line could have been a bit tighter and the Candyman could have been utilized better. but it was quite an original dystopia story, and I have this weird fascination with the dystopia genre. So it was right up my alley.
She does indeed. Because she's not only is she a Hunger Games fan, she also liked Insurgents. Or not Insurgents, Divergent.
Mm, yeah.
I don't think we insinuated that you didn't like it, Chrissy.
No, I did.
Glenn did.
Oh, you did?
He flat out said.
I totally went to her for my, as my defense.
Okay, well, I wasn't here
I think by the end of reading it, I was like, okay, maybe she did like it better than I thought.
Well, shame on you for insinuating our listeners were anything other than who they were.
Thanks, Brenda.
I liked that.
Oh.
I liked the Happiness Patrol. I'm still on a Happiness Patrol kick.
We're not talking Happiness Patrol this week.
But we do have some interviews this week.
We do. I do want to, before we get past this, I do want to put a shout out to Brenda, because she did, after I had requested on the podcast a couple weeks ago, a cross-reference guide for the Amazon Prime and Netflix.
This is how great our listeners are.
She actually sent us one. So I now have a list of what are on each thing, and she's got it like in a nice little spreadsheet. So it lays it out really nicely. So thank you very much,
Brenda,
for that.
And you're going to do something with that for our listeners, too.
I am.
You mentioned something about posting it or something.
With Brenda's permission, I will post it.
Wouldn't it be nice for everybody to have that information as opposed to just you?
With Brenda's permission, I will post that.
Okay.
No, I think only I need that.
Okay.
I have access to it. I'll let it out.
It's mine.
You got me there. I can't argue with you. It's awesome that we ask for things and they do it. That's just kind of cool. It's like, go make me a sandwich.
Didn't we request a bingo card and
Somebody sent us a bingo card.
See, I remember things like that. And we requested, like, we said somebody should Photoshop that, and Alex sent us a bunch of Photoshops one time. Or was it Mark? One of the two.
I think it was Mark.
I think it was Mark McMarmite.
I think it was.
Can we just call him, like, Markix? They can just be one person. Because I always get them confused. If Alex did something, I say Mark did it. If Mark did something, I say Alex did it. So it's just going to be Markix now.
Markix?
Or Almark. Alark. No?
I don't like either of those. It's no Casket.
It's not Casket.
Casket?
You don't watch that show.
No.
Castle. And Beckett.
And Beckett.
Her last name's Beckett.
The girl. Okay.
So they started calling her Casket. And they went, ooh, that's good.
Because of the death thing. You know.
All right. All right.
Oh, we've gone
so it is no shamey.
Are we going to do our interviews first and then come back and do our review?
No Bennifer.
Yes.
All right.
First up, Sean, you want to introduce us?
All right. Well, we want to welcome some special guests to the show now. We have with us, why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Tina, we'll start with you.
I'm Tina Noir. I am a housewife, and I will be playing Femme 4 at Planet Comic Con. I'm originally from Canada, but I live in Belton, Missouri.
Canada, eh?
Eh, yeah.
I'm sure you never hear that, right?
Nah, never.
And what you must hear is, you're from Canada. Do you play hockey?
That or out in a boot.
Out in a boot. And Jessica, welcome.
Hi, I'm Jessica Hill. I'm with Kansas City Time Lord Society.
And Kirk, welcome.
Hi, I'm Kirk Critton. I'm also affiliated with the Kansas City Time Lord Society. I live in Blue Springs, Missouri. Go back quite a ways with Doctor Who, back to when I was first introduced in the 80s.
Well, welcome, guys. I suppose the first question on our mind, the Kansas City Time Lord Society is a relatively new entity, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
When did it start up?
About a couple years ago. Been mostly active about a year.
How'd you guys get started, and who came up with the idea to get started on this?
Well, I pretty much was looking for a Doctor Who group in the area, and I couldn't find one, so I created one. For a while, it was just a few of my friends. It was pretty much nothing. It was just a group on Facebook until someone else actually found us and invited a bunch of friends, and it kind of just blossomed.
Yeah, it's up to 272 members as we record this.
Yeah, last year at Planet Comic Con was the year we decided to branch out and go public with it. Our friend Chris and Jessica, both of them had made some flyers. Chris got them printed, and that's when we started handing them out at Comic Con last year. Thanks to Kirk, we had that panel last year. We thought, you know, maybe 20 people would show up. We'd exchange Facebook, email. We ended up having over 200 people in the room.
Yeah, it was quite a fun experience sitting in on that panel.
It was very impromptu. I helped organize the convention in terms of the panel programming, and as part of this group, we'd kind of had a discussion on Facebook about, well, how do we just have a place to meet up? And as I was putting together the panel programming, I'm like, well, I've got this spot at the end of the day on Saturday. It's opposite the costume contest, and we weren't really planning to do anything in the other panel room. So as a lark, I said, well, I'll just add our meeting in this alternate panel room. And like Tina said, we really thought that, you know, maybe a dozen or 20 people would show up. And we had no plans other than to just say hi to people for a few minutes. So we had to throw together all of a sudden an impromptu panel. And that's really
fun, though.
The turnout for that panel, I think, really impressed the organizers of the convention with the enthusiasm for Doctor Who in the area. So this year's Planet Comic Con is going to have a much more robust Doctor Who presence this year. So
it's interesting because I think I can't remember if I had been to Planet Comic Con before 2 years ago. But when we went 2 years ago, there were a couple of people dressed up as the Doctor, and mostly 10, and a couple of a little bit of merchandise, but not a whole lot. And then the next year, it just kind of exploded, and we had the TARDIS, we had this group, and I'm really looking forward to this next year and the addition to more Who stuff as we can get it.
Me too. There's a lot of activity right now behind the scenes of the convention as well, as we're trying to really pull things together. We've had a lot of discussion within the Kansas City Time Lord Society, and of course we've reached out to you guys for a live podcast panel as well. We're working very hard to try to get a big name Doctor Who guest booked for the show, although that's been a little bit slower getting done than what we'd like. It's not been for lack of effort, though, but hopefully we'll have an announcement soon.
Now, this is something that Glenn and I have kind of gone back and forth and talked about back in the day when we were fans and kind of coming up, that you had that instant connection with somebody when it was, oh, man, you watch Doctor Who, because it was kind of very underground. It wasn't as big and popular as it is now. Obviously, now it is huge. Do you guys see that not only through the things like Keith mentioned at the convention, but also just with the Kansas City Time Lord Society? You guys kind of started off just as a you know, kind of a fan group, and now you've got some cosplayers, and you've got some panel organization and other things going on. Do you kind of see that just as we've progressed, that it just this exponential almost popularity increase in the show and how much easier it is to contact people about it?
Well, certainly Facebook and the internet overall has made it so much easier to get groups of people together. And I've certainly seen that. I've been at this longer than Jessica or Tina, because I go back to Classic Who in the 80s when I first really got the chance to see it. And then it was, you know, an extremely niche-oriented thing, you know, running on a late on a weekend night on a PBS station. Very few people were aware of it. Very, very cult type of show. And now it's just everywhere. I have a Doctor Who T-shirt that I wear out, and I'm just constantly getting comments from people that say that they like the show, you know, in the mall or wherever.
Yeah, I find that too, even with my shirt. But lately, because it's been cold, I've been wearing my Fourth Doctor scarf, and I actually get people stop me and say, hey, I recognize that scarf from somewhere, or I really like your scarf. Do you watch Doctor Who? And, you know, we get talking, and that's when, you know, some people will start asking me questions about Who, or they'll be telling me about their favorite Doctor, and that's when I start mentioning them, you know, about Traveling the Vortex or the Kansas City Time Lord Society and how to find us, and then we end up getting new members.
And that's the best way to find new people, is just bump into them.
It's terrific to just have that instant point of conversation with somebody that you meet as well, when you find that kind of shared interest. And the beauty of Doctor Who and 50 years of history is you've got so many conversation points to start with who's your favorite doctor and when did you start watching and every all of those kind of questions that we all love talking about.
So what do you see as kind of the end result here of the group? I mean, is it something that you guys are with particular plans in mind, or what would you like to see happen, you know, as far as meetups and things happening? Or is it just a social group and we have fun?
Well, it's pretty much a social group and we just have fun. We've discussed, we were planning last summer to have like a meetup and barbecue at a park, but unfortunately we had 120 plus degree days with 100% humidity. But
you guys have done some meetups, right?
Yes. I volunteer work at Big City Comics and Games on State Line, and my boss down there has let us use his room for monthly meetups, and we get together and we do board games or card games, read old Doctor Who magazines, or, and sit around and talk Who.
So those tend to be small gatherings, and we'd like to get into some bigger things. We'd love to arrange a watch party for the 50th anniversary special in an appropriate venue, but we searched a little bit. So far, we don't have any, you know, firm plans for doing that, but our meetups tend to be, you know, 8 or 10 people out of our group of, like you said, 200 and some that have joined the Facebook group. Always kind of a different set of faces and different people, but it would be great to be able to expand that out and at least a few times a year have an opportunity for, you know, maybe 30 or 40 or 50 people to get together and have some sort of Doctor Who party or something.
Yeah, and with us being a nonprofit group, I mean, a lot of, if we were to get a bigger place, you know, money would have to come out of our own pockets, you know, to schedule something. I mean, we've talked about, you know, maybe seeing if, you know, people were willing to chip in if we were to get a room, rent a room for like $100 and we can fit 50 people or something like that to have a watch party. I mean, it's something that still we've been talking about and how to go about it and see if we can find any places that have pretty reasonable prices.
So we really need to find, get somebody involved in the club who's got a space for rent that would mind donating it.
Sean's apartment's available. It's kind of small, but
y'all come over to my place. That's fine. Now, with you guys are online, obviously through Facebook. Is there best way to have people contact you? I mean, if somebody out there is listening to this going, I didn't know there was a group in Kansas City, I mean, how would they go about finding you guys?
I think the best way to do that is simply get on Facebook and search for Kansas City Time Lord Society. It's an open group. It's easy to get in and join and participate and see what we have going on. And it really is the meeting zone for all of us.
Jessica, do you have any advice for people out there that are listening that are not in the Kansas City area and they want to start their own fan group? Do you have any advice for them?
I just say just start it and just start networking. Just look for people who are into it, and eventually it grows.
And you guys are testament to that. You guys, I mean, having quite the Facebook presence even, that's fantastic. And I'm actually excited to see how many people come together at Comic-Con, because you guys said, you know, you have the smaller intimate groups that kind of rotate faces, but it'll be interesting to see how many people, you know, actually come together from this group. And we've kind of considered ourselves surrogates because we don't have a group in Topeka, and I don't know why we haven't actively searched out. I mean, clearly it can happen, but we're a little smaller town, but we're certainly looking forward to coming to Comic-Con and networking with some people over there.
We're eager and excited to have you come over and join us, too. You know, I'm a regular listener of the podcast, and I feel like I know you guys very well, even though you don't know me very much. So it'll be fun to get together and hang out and do some things together.
Absolutely.
I know we're very much looking forward to Planet Comic Con this year. I think it's going to be good. Just from what you guys have announced thus far, it's got me all kinds of excited. So with any further potential developments that are down the road, I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it's going to be a great, great show this year. It's going to be terrific.
And certainly the Kansas City Time Lord Society, I mean, we've seen such, just exponential growth, it seems like, at this point. And I think it was shortly after I stumbled upon you guys at Planet Comic-Con that I noticed there's also a Whovians of Wichita, that there's a group.
Yeah, it was the exact same weekend. One of our listeners had cued us into that one.
So it seems like Kansas is getting pretty well represented here with fandom.
Kansas and Missouri.
Kansas and Missouri.
Don't offend those that live in Missouri.
Some of Kansas City is in Kansas.
Yes, that's true. Was there anything you guys want to maybe plug upcoming? You guys know, have any definite plans that you guys can you guys want to talk about? You guys got coming up?
As you guys know, to keep an eye out at Planet Comic Con for the Femme 11. There's going to be 11 of us that are going to be dressed as each incarnation as the Doctor, but the Femme version, of course. Our friend Hillary has been hard at work working on the costumes, and her sister's also been helping her. It's just been an overall excitement of ours. We've been planning since last year when we all met face to face and we're like, hey, we know you, you're Femme 10, and so on and so forth. And last year I had dressed as River Song, so I had the Femme 10 I ran into just start screaming and yelling, jumping up and down. And so I was like, okay.
Did you guys hadn't met or didn't know each other was going to dress up until you were at the convention?
No, and we hadn't even met through the group on Facebook. They had no clue about the group, so that was the first time they heard about the group. And we ended up, that's when we just started passing out flyers, telling everybody about the panel, and ever since...
That's really cool. I didn't realize that.
I saw this one guy dressed as 11 last year who looked really, really good, Keith.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, we just ended up...
I don't know. I think his shirt was wrong.
After Comic-Con was over last year, we just started planning everything for this year.
Well, I know that we're very excited about it, and we're very proud to have been asked by Kirk to be part of this year's festival. And also to enable to turn around then and share that with Kansas City Time Lord Society and kind of help you guys get the table space and everything. So if anybody out there is listening and able to go to Kansas City, Kirk, when is Comic-Con again this year? Planet Con?
You asked me a trick question there. It's April 6th and 7th. It's the first weekend in April. And so everybody should definitely watch the Planet Comic-Con website for more announcements about Doctor Who related events, including some more details about the Traveling the Vortex panel. And we will, in addition to that, we have a February meeting in the Kansas City Time Lord Society. I believe that's the 23rd. Is that right, Jessica?
It actually hasn't been set up yet. We have a poll on the group still on what weekend we want to use.
Well, you know, that is Doctor Who weekend Doctor Who Day at the Vintage Stock in Metcalf, on Metcalf.
Oh, I actually hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, it's the Vintage Stock is doing, it's I Heart Doctor Who Day. Sean and Keith actually went last time they did one.
Yeah, it was during Con X, the same weekend of Con X.
Yeah. So I think that's a great deal. We'll see. So check out the Kansas City Time Lord Society group on Facebook. We do have postings there about the meetups. And so anybody who's in the area, we encourage you to come join us. It's always a great time of just chatting and talking. Occasionally people bring show and tell items. We may break out a Doctor Who Monopoly board game and have a little game going on the side or things like that.
Sounds like fun. And one of these days we'll make it over there, we promise, for one of the meetups.
We're going to hold you to that.
Just this once-a-year thing that just doesn't work out.
Well, I'm thinking this one ought to be good. I'm thinking we go to – we'll play some Monopoly, and then we'll all descend on Vintage Stock.
There you go.
All right, guys. Well, unless there's anything else that you would like to add, I want to thank you all very much for coming on the show and being part of this. This is a kind of a special episode for us because we just wanted to be able to reach out and kind of talk to some fans and some of the different things that have been going on. And talk a little cosplay and a little convention and get together and different things like that. So I think it's been a lot of fun.
I've enjoyed it.
All right, well, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Welcome to the show, Kiana Howard.
Thank you.
How are you, dear?
I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. This has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Well, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a 23-year-old cosplayer, and I'm a big Doctor Who fan. Pretty much all there is to it. I'm a writer as well. Well, a burgeoning young writer, or however you want to put it, a noob writer. And that's pretty much it. A big geek.
How did you get into Doctor Who?
Well, I first saw the show when I was 3 years old and didn't have any clue as to what it was. And then I got into the new series in about 2006. And I became obsessed with it then. And then I saw some of the classic series. And the first serial I saw of the classic series was the Tom Baker episode I saw when I was 3 years old. And I was like, wow. I remember that from my childhood. So it was like a big circle. So, yeah.
Do you remember which episode that was?
Terror of the Zygons.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I remember the really crappy looking Loch Ness monster from the episode.
Keith has yet to be exposed to that one.
We no, we're still the DVD
release so that we can subject him to Zygons.
Yes. I keep hearing great things about it.
Yeah, the story's not bad, but the graphics are pretty awful. Hopefully they update the DVD release.
How did you first get involved in cosplaying?
I just wanted to dress up and look nice in costumes, pretty much. And it's fascinating to do that to me. Like, I used to be an anime fan, and that's where that started,
pretty much. You went to a bunch of anime conventions and did the cosplay there?
Yeah, that's where that started from, when I was a teenager.
And how long did you do that? So you said you're 20... I'm not going to ask that question. Never mind.
It's okay. I'm 23.
She already said. She's 23.
Let me rethink that. What were your favorite animes to cosplay as? Who did you do then?
I used to like Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon and stuff like that. And I used to go to school in the costumes and stuff. I was such a big nerd.
We can sympathize. We're big nerds too.
Yes. Yeah.
May have been a time where I wore a Starfleet outfit to school. Not on Halloween, maybe.
Yeah, I wore the Sailor Moon dress to school on Halloween. And that was the day my little sister was born, actually. So I had to wear the outfit to the hospital. So that was hilarious. The nurses were looking at me like something was wrong with me.
Now, I met you at Galley. Where mm-hmm. you had together a very impressive Leela costume. And what other... you've sent us some pictures, and of course we'll get these up on the website when this episode airs, but what other costumes have you done in the Doctor Who realm?
I've done the Leela, as you've seen before. It's my favorite costume from the Doctor Who realm. I've done Romana 1 from Power of Kroll, the white dress of hers. I've done a Dalek dress. I've done a female Sixth Doctor. This year I'll do a female Fourth Doctor outfit. I've done a River Song costume. I've done a female Third Doctor. I've done a TARDIS dress, but that I just bought at Hot Topic and just wore it. It was like, yay, I'm cosplaying. That required no effort at all.
So are you quite the seamstress then in order to be able to put these costumes together?
Yeah, I learned how to sew just so I could make more costumes. I took sewing classes at school. Like, everyone in there was like, sewing's my major, and, you know, I'm doing this so I can grow up and go to New York and join fashion houses. And I'm like, I'm doing this for a hobby. Yay. Like, this is no standing on my graduation. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. I don't need this class to pass. Yay.
No pressure there, then.
Yeah.
What's the most challenging costume you've made?
Oh, God. I really have to think about that. Probably the Leela costume. Because although it didn't require a lot of sewing and stuff, still the leather and the bodice required quite a bit. And, you know, drafting it and figuring out how to put everything together was quite hard. Because although it doesn't look as challenging, it is still a challenge. The costume was a challenge to put together. And I'm still not 100% happy with it. I still want to go back and redo it when I have the money and time, which is not right now.
So do you have any others that you look at and you think, well, that's just not quite complete. I need to do some more to it.
All of them. Yeah, all of them. Like, I'm never really 100% happy with my costumes. I was just thinking the other day, I was shopping at Target, it was, and I saw a bathing suit because I did Bikini Perry from Planet of Fire a couple years ago at Galley, and I saw a bathing suit there, and I was like, that'd be perfect for a new Perry bikini. Why don't I have the money for that? That would be so great.
Keith is kind of the one of us who, is, at least so far, has actually cosplayed. He's gone as the 11th Doctor to a couple cons, and he's kind of said the same thing. He's, well, I'm still on the lookout for a better bow tie or for a different tweed jacket and things of that nature. So
it's always the tweed jacket and the shirt. It's never perfect.
Yeah, it's like you always got to find something that's just a little bit better or a little bit more than what you already have.
Yes, and especially with... I could buy the actual tweed jacket, but I don't have $400 laying around.
I know. It's
and I can't justify a costume to cost $400.
Right. It's insane.
Mel was just talking. We just did the Happiness Patrol for our Friday Night Who, and she was very taken with the idea of going as a Happiness Patrol member to Galley. So any tips that you could point out to her, maybe?
I don't know. Just like if you're on a budget, thrift stores are your best friend. If you don't know how to sew, find a friend that does or commission someone. And, you know, keep your prices low because saving money is always a good thing. Don't go crazy with your prices and save money because you'll always want to upgrade later. And, you know, don't spend too much money on a costume because it is still a costume. You still have to eat. Those are mine.
Really, you're going to only be able to wear it once or twice a year.
Yeah. You're not going to be wearing it every day.
Definitely some sound advice. Are there any cosplay costumes that you've put together that you instantly regretted and decided, nah, I'm not doing this again or I can't wear this to the con?
My mom hated the idea that I walked around Gallifrey in a bathing suit.
Well, that's to be expected from mothers.
Yeah. It did get me kicked out of Champions because I went in there barefoot in a bathing suit.
No shirt, no shoes, no service.
Yeah, yeah. I had to come back with a shirt and shoes. I was very mad about that. But I can't blame them. Like, if there's broken glass on the floor, you know, I can cut my foot and sue them or something. So, you know. Like, there were some whispers about me after that. Like, I'm not just trying to get attention. I really like this costume. I do want to look like Harry.
So then you said this year for Gala, you're looking at doing from you?
I'll probably do Leela again, even though I do feel a little self-conscious in the costume sometimes. Let's see. I haven't done a full list. I'll probably bring Martha Jones. Because Freema's going to be there, and I'm super excited about that. Female Fourth Doctor. And I'm not really sure yet. Other than that, I'm not sure.
What do you find when you're watching these serials that just... Is there a particular... What speaks to you? What do you kind of look for when you go, oh, yeah, I could totally cosplay as that? I mean, what kind of sparked that initial creative of approach to it?
Something that looks outrageous and something that's different. Something I know that everyone's not going to put on. Something that's, like, out there, kind of. Because that's, like, what sparks me in my head. This is like, wow, that's out there. Not everyone else is going to put that on, and that's going to make me stand out. Like, Nissa's outfit from Snake Dance, that's pretty different.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I want to do someday. I know not a lot of people have done that outfit. As soon as I say that, everyone's going to write, jump up and do it. Just like different outfits, ones that everyone hasn't done yet. Or like even if it's a common outfit, just a different twist on it. Like a female version, a version with a skirt, or like a Lolita version. Things like that. Make it fun. Make it different. Make it more exciting than usual.
Did you happen to see last year, one of my favorite costumes was the Master. And there were several different Masters running around Galley, but the one from Curse of Fatal Death that they'd
actually, oh my god,
added the Dalek bumps on his chest.
Yes, I did see that one.
We laughed over that, and it was kind of like that was one that I thought because I've got a goatee, and I thought to myself, well, I don't necessarily want to shave the goatee, so I'll do the master. Once I saw that, that kind of was like, I'm done. Then the master has now been done to this is the ultimate version of the master you could possibly do, so I don't want to do it now. I got to find something else to come cosplay as.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find those kind of situations happen to you, too, where you kind of maybe steal ideas from other people or then turn around and find something that you're just absolutely, nope, I'm not going to do that one now?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. A little crestfallen, like, happens sometimes where you're like, oh, they took my idea. Damn it. Now I have to go do something else. Or like, geez, now I just have to, can't do that. Now I'm back to the drawing board. It's like, oh, what am I going to do now? Now I'm out of ideas. Back to the DVD shelf.
What's a bigger cosplay environment, Galley or Chicago TARDIS?
Galley.
Really? Is it Definitely. Just because of the number of people? Or
the number of people, yeah. That's so much bigger.
And you also went to ICON this year, didn't you, in New York?
Yeah. That was big, too. But that had so many different fandoms. It was a lot of different cosplay.
So were you there representing who, or did you do some of the anime?
Doctor Who.
Who did you do to ICON? Who did you do at ICON?
I brought Romana and Leela, which people loved, even though they didn't know what it was from, obviously. And
you look great as Leela.
Thank you.
You look fantastic.
And Martha Jones.
So you're going to Galley this year, right?
Yep.
Is there anything you're looking forward to most?
Meeting Freema as dressed up as Martha. That's what I'm looking forward to.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from other celebrities when you come up to them and you're dressed like them?
Oh, wow.
Because you sent us a picture of you and Janet Fielding.
Yeah,
you were dressed as Tegan, and I thought that was pretty cool.
She stopped me in the hallway for that photo, actually. She was super excited. She loved it. She was like, that is so awesome, in her Australian accent. And she was just floored. She was super excited. She loved it. And the other celebrity who really loved that I was dressed up like her was Louise Jameson. She loved my Leela costume. I got a picture with her, and she, when I was getting up to leave, she grabbed me by the arm and said, Kiana, it took me hours to get my skin to look like yours when I was in costume. And I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, she's a very nice lady.
Well, I, for one, can't wait to see you again at Galley. You're obviously welcome. We haven't got a set time for our Traveling the Vortex get-together. Glenn's pushing for breakfast. But you're welcome to join us, and we definitely hope to see you there.
Awesome.
Guys, and I hope to see lots of pictures.
Yeah, got to have lots of pictures.
Yeah, of course.
Guys, is there anything you want to ask while we have the lovely and talented Kiana on?
I don't believe so.
I think we covered everything.
Okay.
Kiana, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to do this for us.
It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you again so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everyone, for being involved in our interviews.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I'm not here yet.
Welcome back, Sean.
It's lost the magic of the stories.
That was a lot of fun. And it tied into our Friday Night Who, which was Love and Monsters.
Yes, and we decided we wanted to throw something kind of fun out there and put this kind of fan show together and talk to some fans, and we have more of these kinds of things planned, so hopefully you enjoyed that, and you can find Kansas City Time Lord Society, as I said, on their Facebook page, and Kiana, we hope to hook up with her at Galley and see some of the fun creations, and I took her advice to heart and was kind of relaying the information to Mel, because Mel got really inspired last week when we watched Happiness Patrol, and she literally, I jokingly said, I'm going to do a Candyman costume at Galley, and she literally came off the couch and went, dibs, and she has decided she wants to go as a member of the Happiness Patrol, and she's been full bore all week long. She's been scouring, and she came home, and she found a jacket that's very, very close, and
a big
wide belt, and pink pumps, and we found a green ray gun that I'll be spray painting sometime this week.
And now she just needs a pink gem wig.
Bought one.
Nice.
So she's putting it all together. Now here's the funny part of the story, is, you know, as Keanu said,
you don't have to check that ray gun. You realize that?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's going in the suitcase.
Make sure you don't put any locks on there.
Nope.
Because they're going to open that thing up when they see that in X-ray and go, okay, what's in this?
It's not even close to a ray. It's a bazooka. It's a toy bazooka. So it's like this big. It's going to be the worst possible trying to get through FAA. You know? It's like, what are you bringing? Surface to air missile. It's just, it is huge. But, of course, it's going to be all dolled up and red and, you know, yellow spirals and happy stickers, and it's gonna they're gonna look at that and freak out. It's gonna be awesome. Because it was the first thing I asked for. I was like, will that fit in the suitcase? Because you ain't bringing that on the airplane.
Yeah, there's no way they would let that on the airplane. But,
so, you know, thrifters are your friend. It's like, yes, that's very, and she's coming back and she's so proud because she's like, I got this, and this, and I've only spent $20 so far.
Yeah,
I mean, just she's so happy. We went out tonight to put the final touches together. It's like, okay, what do you still need? She says, I need the makeup and pink nails, and then, you know, some of the eyebrow or face paint kind of stuff. I was like, okay, so we went looking for all that. By the time we got done with face paint, eyebrow, and, you know, this kind of stuff,
$20,
and then paint for. The gun,
yeah,
$75.
Yeah. Oh, you can't get that kind of stuff at thrift store
at
though.
Walmart.
Yeah, well,
at Walmart we spent and I'm laughing all the way to the car.
So she has a $100 costume.
She has a $100 costume, and I said, you know what's sad about this? She says, what? I said, neither one of us would spend $100 on a suit to wear to work. But you spend $100 on a suit, you're going to spend maybe 4 hours one time.
I've probably spent about that much for my 11th Doctor costume.
Yeah, it was...
Especially considering the last shirt I bought was from Dillard's.
Yeah, that'll do it in a hurry. But it's funny because, you know, I mean, we've got all the little cutout letters. We put happiness on the back of the jacket and... You know, this whole bit, and it just all of a sudden spiraling costs involved in cosplay.
It's a shame she hadn't had this realization back in October when some of those supplies would have been a little cheaper.
True. You might have been able to get them at
or after
time.
Well, and yeah, the wig was particularly a sticking point because we knew what we wanted and we couldn't find one, and it's not Halloween. So we wound up going over the river to Carnival Supply in North Topeka.
Yeah. Over the river to Carnival Supply. It's a scary place to go.
He's the nicest guy in the world, nice, but man, it's scary over there.
Yeah.
And of course, I was like, well, we won't be able to get there until such time. And he's like, well, I'll stay open for you. And it's like, oh, God, this is like that horror movie. They went into the woods and they never came back. I almost called you. If I don't show up to podcast tonight, send the cops to North Topeka to Carnival Supply.
He'll just add you to the collection.
Be on the wall. So, fun stuff.
I look forward to seeing her costume finished.
Well, I wanted to. She kind of put it together and had the, you know, and I was like, well, can I send a preview picture? She's like, no, it's not done yet. So she's being
I did it.
Well, I know. That's what I was like, but they, you know, the guy, it's just the guy. She goes, nope. She's being very proprietary about it, so.
I guess I understand.
I don't know. She's excited, so. And then I asked her, so how are you going to walk around in them heels? She goes, I'll be good for a little bit. Because that was the first thing I asked her. Is like, are you doing heels? Are you doing flat? Because they all kind of look like they have different shoes. We've been watching this video over and over and over again. None of them really line up.
Getting their mileage out of that DVD.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, I don't think any of them are the same. I'm like, well, good. You can just go with what you want. She goes, no, I want that one. So, okay. So she found this pair of pumps that are actually have a little bit of a heel on them, and she's kind of wobbling around in the basement. And she wears heels, just not very often. It's like, are those comfortable? Yeah. Really? Not really.
I never believe that anytime anybody says that about heels.
I want to meet the guy that invented women's shoes, because I'd beat the crap out of him. There's something wrong. Ladies, there's something wrong with you. Really. No lie. The pointed toes that cram everything together in the front and jacking everything up in the back, that's not normal.
Well, I understand that. I sort of understand the idea of a heel, that when you put the arch of the foot up, then it makes the back just kind of sleek and gives it a appealing look to it.
Better shape, quote unquote.
But the point to the toes, that makes no sense at all to me. That makes absolutely no sense.
The pizza shoes.
Yeah.
Especially the really super pointy ones where you could fit like maybe one toe in there, but they've got all five of them.
Well, or the ones that the toes run out, but it's so pointy that it's like 3 inches of point.
Yeah, exactly. Because so you get all that extra.
It's all, yeah.
Yeah, wicked, which of the West shoes, pointy shoes. Anyway.
But I think, don't get me wrong, ladies. I very much appreciate that you apparently go out and spend $75 on makeup so that you look good for us. This is clown makeup and orange highlights.
Do it to look good for us. They do it to look good for themselves.
No, they do it to look good for us.
No.
Depending on who you ask.
They're all for themselves. They're all looking for a guy. Send comments to, I know. Oh, but,
thoughts and opinions expressed by Sean are not necessarily that of driving the Vortex.
But, I appreciate that you spend $75 to, doll up and look good. I don't get it, but okay, Shave and a shower, that's pretty much the best you're going to get out of most of us.
All right, so moving along. Well, we're excited to see
Mel's
finished product.
I'll twist her arm, and hopefully we'll have something for maybe this week's Friday Night Who.
Cool.
Well, we have a couple of short reviews this week. We were able to watch The Doctors Revisited, the BBC America special. What'd you guys think?
Well, first of all, let's put this out there. We have not got an illegal copy of this thing because we didn't get to see it when it was on BBC. It was actually on YouTube.
It was on YouTube.
And I found it, and I found a link to it. If you're interested in seeing it, you didn't get a chance to see it, you can go see all 24 minutes of it. I didn't send the second link where it has Moffat introducing the Aztecs. It looks like it cuts off there. Moffat, it just goes right into Moffat introduces the Aztecs. So it kind of sets
up. How was that?
Pretty cool. I mean, it was another 4 minutes of him doing an introduction, but it was pretty cool. I mean, well, anyway, let's talk about this. Anyway, there's a link on YouTube if it's still there and you didn't get a chance to see it. You can go there and
go
and
YouTube search it.
Go search it.
And then YouTube, a chimp charging glass.
Yeah.
Because that's hilarious.
So what you guys think?
I was actually impressed. We gave it more credit. We didn't give it as much credit as it deserved. I thought they did a lot of tribute to the rest of the companions, not just Susan, Ian, and Barbara. While they focused on them, there was a decent amount with the other companions, more than I expected.
I mean, I saw some of the people's complaints about skirting past Dodo, but on the flip side of that, we got a lot from the... here's what this thing does, is it hits on the really most important parts of the Doctor's Era, or the things you really need to know about that Doctor's Era if you've come to Classic Who...
From New Who.
From New Who, or you've come to Classic Who with no background whatsoever.
What if I came to it from Yoo-Hoo?
And the nice thing about this is that it really touches on the important things that you need to know about the Doctor. And so I agree. I thought that the companions were very well represented, and that the Doctor was very well explained. That this Doctor, they really hit the nail on the head.
Oh yeah,
the first Doctor's character.
And I was pretty impressed by the interviews, having David Tennant and John Barrowman.
Yeah,
interviewed. And John,
what else are they doing?
Well, I guess that's true. And John Barrowman talking about none other than the Dodo episode, The Gunfighters.
Yeah.
Which was a great little bit.
The strangest moment in Doctor Who history. Sorry, fans, but this is it. I would like to see John Barrowman return on each one of these.
It's Barrowman, by the way. Brenda corrected us last week. It's John Barrowman, like a wheelbarrow.
I hope Tennant and Barrowman return each week.
That's what I've been saying, isn't it?
I bet they do. I bet those were all.
It's a can.
Done
they,
I say
they
wheel borrow.
Down and did all of them.
I say wheel saying, borrow. That's
yeah,
why
we've
I do
all
that.
Been saying borrow.
Because I'm from Kansas. It's a wheel borrow. I would like to see him come back on each one of these and say, "This is the weirdest moment, Doctor," and go on to something else from the second Doctor's era. Every week,
this is it.
This is it. No, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very cool. And I agree with you. I don't think we give it enough credit not having seen it. Now that we've seen it, it was kind of cool. Now, I can say that it was kind of in line with one of those specials that if you've never seen the show before, it was kind of interesting and informative and maybe gave you enough
only the, that
you, you'd be curious to see it. If you knew some of it.
If you're new to classic series.
And you're new to classic series, this would kind of spark your interest. And if you're one of us where, yeah, these stories are all old hat, it was just kind of that geek moment of, oh, hey, cool, they got to talk to so-and-so.
That's what it was. Yeah. And that's what it was almost sitting down and listening to some people just be excited about the same thing that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
That's what I took out of it as a diehard fan, as it was nice to hear what John Barrowman was saying about about it, and what David Tennant said to say about it, what Stephen Moffat had to say about it, and those kind of things. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I was also impressed that they went out and interviewed William Russell.
Yes.
And the actor who played Stephen.
Yes.
I thought that was really cool.
There was only the one part with Stephen.
I thought there was two.
It was when he was talking about singing the song.
Now, maybe I'm thinking of the coming up.
I've done stuff in the past, but it wasn't quite in my key.
The only thing
Russell is so cute. That's the way he was at Galley.
He's the cute old man look.
He's old Ian. I just want to hug him. You know,
he's like my grandpa.
I know. He's so cute. I have a total man crush on old Ian.
My only complaint with the revisited is when they went to the adversaries. Is it was only focused on the Daleks.
Well, that is
important and justified in their focus on how they did the Daleks. I thought they should have at least tried to touch on Cybermen.
They'll do that in two. When I saw that, I thought, okay, this is. But not a lot of people, even fans, haven't seen Tenth Planet. The Tenth Planet is the only First Doctor story that introduced the Cybermen. That's it.
But they showed a Cyberman.
I know they
showed
did. Clips. They did. But now what they've done is they've kind of whet your appetite so that when you come back and you see the second one, they're going to say the main adversary for that one, and they'll focus on Cybermen. Now they'll say,
I hope they touch on Tenth Planet.
They will. They'll recount back and say, you know, the First Doctor encountered. They were encountered first by the First Doctor, and then. But then, yeah, that's exactly the
and just like the Master, they'll do. For Pertwee.
Exactly.
I hope so.
And there was no reason because, with the exception of the Meddling Bunk coming back and being in two stories, which maybe he should have gotten a mention, there was really no recurring villain in Hartnell's era. And so the Daleks was kind of the big one that they pointed out,
they were a one-off.
Exactly.
Everything was a one-off until... Oh,
the
really
popularity
popular.
Of the Daleks. So I was perfectly fine with that, knowing that the Cybermen have always been credited as the second Doctor's main villain. So.
I guess I could see that. I hope they follow through with it.
Oh, they certainly will. This program is very formulaic. I could just see. I mean, if you look at it, it looked very formulaic. In fact, I can see how all the rest of them will progress from here on out. And I'm very pleased.
I look forward to seeing the rest of them.
All right, well, speaking of the First Doctor, or staying with the First Doctor,
sticking
I guess
with
I should
the first
say.
Doctor.
Sticking? I don't want to stick to him. The IDW, did you notice everybody's got this little 50 years logo on it?
Do they?
Yeah. Everything that's coming that has come out has this little 50 years logo on it.
Oh,
isn't that
and
cool?
The TARDIS?
Yeah, and the audio that we'll be reviewing next week.
I want the 50-year logo
has the
50-year on our website.
Logo. We should put it on there.
Let's do a logo.
All right.
All year.
All year long.
All year long.
But everything, the Big Finish
starting now in February, because this is when we're starting our celebration of the Doctor.
Right. The Big Finish stuff all has, they're all branding with this logo. So
and the
that
toys,
was the first thing
too,
that I noticed.
I
the toys have the 50th.
Yeah, at least the coasters I saw.
Well,
the toy fair stuff that
was being released as 50th anniversary have the little 50 logo on it.
Like the Union
well.
Jack Dalek. And, yep. Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. But IDW, as their first part of their 50-year celebration, released the first of, I presume, 11 stories of Doctor Who comic books in the series called Prisoners of Time. And as I put on the website, this one kind of slipped under our radar a little bit, I think, and snuck up on us. And when I saw that this had come out last week, I jumped on it and decided maybe this is something we should look into, and passed it on to Keith and Sean, and they thought it was a good idea. So here we are.
Once a month, we're going to do a comic review.
This is a late-minute add to the schedule.
It
so
is.
If you were tuning in expecting to hear just the fan show. Surprise. It's a little extra. And if you're one of those that likes to follow along with us and is now a little miffed that you didn't get the opportunity because you missed our late minute fourth quarter warning that it was coming up. Stop your podcast now. Go down to your local comic book dealer or go to IDW.com and order it, which is available on your iPad and other fun devices, and then read it and then come back.
That's the nice thing is you can get comic books online now too, so that makes it very accessible. Well, first of all, I think that...
So this is really the first volley in our 50th anniversary celebration.
This really is.
We've had other people did January. Yep. Like I said, we're going to hold off. We're going to start February. So this is our first volley. And this is what I think is really cool because...
He makes that emphasis like we planned that.
We did. Look at this. No, think about this. Check this out. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? So we've got... This week, we've got Prisoners of Time with William... First Doctor.
Right.
Not with William Hartnell, but, you know. Right. All right. What are we doing next week?
It's the audio.
The Big Finish audio adventure featuring the First Doctor. What are we doing the week after we get back from Galley?
I can't remember.
Reign of Terror.
Oh, we are doing Reign of
Terror. We've got William Hartnell all month long for our first volley.
Okay, so maybe he did plan it.
I did.
He didn't. He didn't know about this. He didn't know about the audio next week.
He knew it'd fall in line, so.
I'm psychic.
He can retcon like the best of them.
You betcha.
Anyway,
I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be cool. And then that means in March, we're going to get some Trout and Love.
This is, back to this comic book that we're reviewing now, is a, I think it's an enjoyable read. It's, when you come to a comic book, you have to go into it knowing you're not going to get the most in-depth story that you can get.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That being said, this story does a lot with what it has.
Yeah.
And... The nice thing about it is you get the first few pages, you get kind of a glimpse of
a setup of what's going on throughout the entire year.
What's going to be the thread of this? And
was it me, or did you guys kind of squeal a little bit at the operating scene?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. From
the movie?
Yeah. From, yeah.
Yes. Doctor Who the movie.
Where Seven regenerates.
Yes.
Eventually.
Sean's looking at it now going, well, I didn't really think about that.
No, I did. I was distracted by the other ones.
Squee to me.
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, that's Seven on the operating table.
That was one of the things that I thought was really interesting was which... Because we open with this mysterious person, and he's giving this background information on the Doctor and the companions and whatnot. And I thought it was interesting that there were moments chosen... That so totally nail the Doctor as a character.
Yes, absolutely. I thought the same thing as well.
But yet there were also moments that it's like, that's so awesome that you chose that moment. You know, here's a shot of Six with the finger hush. And then the companions, too. The fact that this particular group of companions... was chosen, and some of them are obvious and some of them are not.
So do you think we'll get the Penguin? In the
Frobisher's right there.
Frobisher.
And well, he's been in the comics, so I think IDW felt the need to put him there.
And Adam. I'm assuming that's Adam.
Where's Adam? Where do you see him? Oh, I didn't even see Adam.
With the thing on his forehead.
It's because your perception filter is...
That's what it is.
Now, so props for picking some different things. I'm going to get a nitpick out of the way now, since we're talking about this. And I certainly do not mean any disrespect... to Mr. Simon Fraser, who is the artist for this. This is... Because I read G.I. Joe, and I read Star Trek, and IDW has the licensing to these. So I'm very familiar with IDW's cabal of artists. And I have to be honest, so far I'm really not impressed with too many of them. And I feel bad saying that, but... And we'll get to this when we go back and start reviewing Assimilation, but... This is one of those things that comic books are a visual medium.
Yes.
They are very much something that you have to grab me visually. And I'm not saying that every artist has to be a Michael Turner, because you can't be. I'm not saying that every comic book should be drawn that way. But there is a certain level to which I kind of expect when I crack open the pages of a comic book. And a Doctor Who comic at that, because Doctor Who, realistically, it's an adventure title. And a lot of the artists that I've seen come and go through Who... just don't quite have a grasp on the style I think that I'm desiring. I'm not even going to say that that's necessarily needed, but it just none of them have really spoken to me as of yet. At least I haven't found one yet. And maybe that's unfair, but the companion panels in particular.
Well, here's my
just bad.
Let me expand on that a little bit, because I sort of came at this the same way. As this isn't the best artwork, in my opinion. But I think what it boils down to it is this is not the best artwork of people I'm familiar with. I don't think that the rendition of the Doctor, Ian especially,
yeah.
Barbara or Susan, or it's Vicky in this one.
Vicky.
It
took me until they said her name to realize who it was.
I don't think they're well done. A lot of the art in the companions and panel, I don't think is well done. Now, I will give this artist props for the way that he composes the art.
Oh, I think agree.
Visually, yeah. No, that's fine. The composure of the different frames, I think, is done really well. But what takes you out of it is the fact that I think our characters don't look enough like they should, in my opinion. So that was the only thing that pulled me out.
They wind up being kind of, at least in this panel, they're very, very simplistic, almost caricatures. Like you went to Worlds of Fun and had a guy draw your portrait, but it didn't even come across as well as you were hoping.
I wouldn't go that far.
The one of Rose. I mean, this to me, you know that scene in The Muppets when they go to the restaurant that has all the famous people's portraits up on the wall that's done by that one guy?
Yeah.
That's who she looks like here. The big teeth and the grin and everything. I'm just not sold by it.
Again, part of that is because of the size of the panel, because of getting all those in, they had to be recognizable. Because you couldn't get detailed.
Sure.
So that's why you go the caricature route there.
And there's a reason for that. And that I get, but
there's a reason for that.
It's distracting. Because
if you'll notice coming back to here, you're up there. Up here, I think they're a little less caricature, but it's because it's a tighter shot.
Yeah.
So
the panels aren't that much bigger.
And it's even more so two pages back.
But you've got more room to sort of...
If you go back...
No, we're getting a little nitpicky.
That's even more so.
Yeah.
Character.
So, it has to do with how far away or how small of an area we have to work with.
But again, that is my nitpicky complaint about this comic in particular, but IDW's Doctor Who line in general. And I mean, no disrespect, because I'm not going to dog on somebody else's work. It's a hard gig.
It's better than what we could do.
Yeah, that's no lie. That's
true.
You like stick figures? This one's got a scarf. It must be the Fourth Doctor.
Which,
you know what I enjoy about this?
I come to IDW because I've read stuff besides Doctor Who from them. Mm-hmm. Angel, specifically. And I come to it not expecting the quality we get from DC or Marvel. Just because it's a quote-unquote second-tier company.
I'll tell you, quite frankly, DC and Marvel, I think a lot of the stuff that's... My son still occasionally, while taking the comic book store, he'll get his Avengers, and they'll be hit and miss. There'll be some that the artwork is spectacular, and there's more so times than not that it's almost lazy. It's lazy artwork. There's a Frank Miller-esque mentality out there now, which Frank Miller... When he was the only one doing the minimalist style.
It was artistic.
It was artistic, and it was cool because it was different, and you hadn't seen anything like that. You were forgiving of the penciling, and you were forgiving of the laziness of a panel.
Because it was gritty.
Because it was gritty, and it was edgy, and it was different. But now it seems like there's a lot of artists that are adopting that style, and to me, it almost looks like a wash now. It's like. It's boring.
It depends, too, on which Frank Miller it is. If you're reading a Frank Miller Sin City, I totally buy into it. If you're reading a Frank Miller Batman, I can't get my brain to rectify that that's who he's drawing. It doesn't look like Batman to me because it's so artistically different from everything else that's come before. So,
works for me in the first one, then the second Dark Knight. that was poorly written.
I think spends their money is totally on licensing, because if you look at their lineup,
huge licensing.
You know, they've got Doctor Who, they've got Angel, they've got Buffy, they've got Star Trek,
they don't have Buffy.
That's a
Dark Horse
now. Buffy. They've got Ghostbusters. I mean, they've got Transformers. There's a huge stable of licensed properties, which is obviously where they're reaching out and grabbing those to get the fans.
They're tapping into that television market because they also have Jericho and other.
We're getting way off
topic here. So,
but the writing is fantastic. Right, I like the story a lot.
Need better artists. Okay. but the, what I liked most about this is we've got this nice little story. We've set down in I presume it was like the early 1900s, maybe the late 1800s.
I think it's late 1800s.
1868.
That's right, 1868. So we've set down in the mid to late 1800s, and we've got this little story, and they're visiting somebody that they know, and well, they've gone
the
to
knows.
Well, yes, but and they've gone to the doctor knows him, but yes, you're right. But Ian and Barbara know of him though, because
yes,
they're
because he's
yes fascinated with
celebrity
his discussions, but well, there's some mystery going on. Some people have disappeared, and so the doctor automatically says, "Well, we're going to go with you." And so, number one, it's not the run from, run away from,
which and Doctors Revisited touched on pretty much from
how there was a pinnacle of, yeah. of how it changed,
and this yeah. is with Vicky, obviously,
this would be after that. So automatically, we know that this isn't the runaway doctor. This is the let's go take care of the issue. But the most wonderful thing about it is the who they run across when they get down there. I never expected this.
No,
of all of
the villains,
of everything,
that, even seeing the covers, I never expected.
I didn't either. And just
I
of
no
all
idea
the
that's
villains, and I'm so glad we had watched the Web Planet
Serendipity.
Having the Zabri, right? Zabri.
The Zarbi.
Zarbi. Having the Zarbi return, and then whatever the big. They kept saying spider-looking thing, and she never looked like a spider to me. But
well, I think
maybe anyway,
it was supposed to look like a spider in the original. But
anyway, to have that be the villain in this, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the Web Planet, but I thought it was a wonderful way to utilize that same species and those same aliens, and have them now taking over Earth. And the nice thing about this is the fact that, well, wait a minute. How did they get from the Web Planet, whatever it was called, to Earth? And that's all nicely wrapped up there at the end when they kind of put everything back together. And it makes sense for them to be here. And that it's really kind of was orchestrated to be this way so that they would run across it.
Did you find yourself reading faster when they got into the – because, you know, we're going into the subway tunnels. It's like, ooh, subway tunnels. Well, already my mind is filled with what do we got? We got
Cybermen.
We got Yeti. We got who's been in the subways before? You know, who's
Yeti,
out of the sewers?
I thought about the Yeti.
You know, and then we get to the panel with the webbing, and I thought Web of Fear. I thought, oh, it's great intelligence already. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. And then there's this giant ant, and I'm like, wait, oh my god!
You're like, no, could it be?
It is, you know. So yeah, I just piled up on me when we got to that point, which I thought was really cool. I enjoy it when comics pull that switch,
yeah,
bait and switch
yeah.
on me. And I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
And then I did. I had that moment when I got to the crest and hit it and was like, oh wow. Then there was I had to put it down for a minute and go, really?
How does that work?
I mean, this is your launch title for the 50th anniversary, and who are we bringing back? Web Planet.
Which, kudos
okay,
to
I'll
IDW
it back
for
up
not
and let's go.
Going with Daleks initially.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the nice thing about this, is especially since we have such iconic villains, sometimes they're easy to go to. And, yeah, bravo for going in and picking a unexpected returning monster and taking what was kind of a subpar enemy in one story, in my opinion, and really kind of turning it in a different direction and kind of making it work for the comic for how simple the story is. This is where this group works. This
yes.
is where this group works really
yes,
well.
Absolutely.
And dispatching the villain is fantastic.
Man.
I absolutely loved it. I thought
Man of Action.
There was no other. Yeah, exactly. Man of Action. There was now how he learned to run the train that fast. I don't know.
He's a school teacher.
Yeah,
he's a smart guy.
But anyway, yeah, Ian charging him with the train. That was fantastic. I just, you know, it's not the best story in the world, but it's so enjoyable.
It is.
I was so glad that we ran across this.
And I look forward to it more, what they do each
yeah,
month.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really
if
look
they can continue
it.
Good storytelling from month to month with each different doctor, then I'm going to really, really enjoy this Prisoners of Time.
And, of course, we do end on a cliffhanger.
Well, yes. Sort of. Yes.
Well, I think it's a pretty
well
big cliffhanger. That
How it will carry over into next month, I don't know.
I'm expecting, well, I could be wrong, but do we want to talk about the cliffhanger? Or
I think it's fair to talk about the cliffhanger. Okay.
So, you know, we've killed the bad guy by running a train over him.
Through him.
This is how much I hate you. Crunch. Bug. We fixed the problem. We've sent the zombie home. And then the doctor turns around, and Ian's gone, and Barbara's gone, and Vicky's gone. And he's alone in the train, in the underground, and no companions. And that's it. That's the end. So what I suspect is going to happen is that next month, we're not going to get a resolution
no,
of that.
Oh, well, no, absolutely.
That's exactly
we will,
what I
we
think.
We will pick up with...
The resolution actually, will be in the last
Yeah,
I think
story.
This will be a 12-issue comic
it'll
series.
Be 11.
You think so?
I think so, and here's the reason. It's because the 11 already... the 11... 11 already has his recurring series. So there's no need to do an 11 story by itself.
Okay, I can
so
see
11
that.
Will be the coming together, I think, of all 11 Doctors. So that'll
I can
be
see
the 11th
that.
Doctor's story.
Hopefully.
I hope.
I hope that we see all of them.
An 11th Doctor's story.
I hope that it's not just the 11th Doctor rescuing all of his previous
yes,
companions.
Yes,
which,
right.
don't get me wrong, that right. would still be cool.
Let's do it in the way that we did the five Doctors.
But let's bring everybody
11
in.
Is the heavy. Where five is the heavy. But 11 is the heavy.
Yes.
And everybody works together. Everybody yeah. has their plays their own role.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's going to have to be a supersized comic to fit all of that in.
That's just it. That's a lot of ego. I don't think you can fit it all in one page. I don't think you can do it all in one.
I don't know. I think if you do it right, you can do it in just as many pages.
Yeah.
I hope they can do it right.
I hope they can do it right,
I'll tell you, I'm very excited about this series, and I hope they do good things with it, because it's already started off on the right foot.
And I love the sneak cover art for Prisoners of Time 2. The great Patrick Troughton on the cover, so.
Yep.
Which, that cover gives you hope of something.
Gives you hope of something, don't lie.
Doesn't give me hope for something, huh?
What are you seeing in it that I'm not?
The Ice Warrior behind him?
It is an Ice Warrior. I couldn't
but,
figure out what it was.
But, you see what's behind the first Doctor in this alternate cover?
Oh
yeah.
It's a Cyberman.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe we shouldn't expect the Ice
I don't think you should expect. Well, that's one thing about
here's
IDW.
Here's what I'm hoping
is
we get.
They,
oh, it is. It's
they
in
lie
his hat.
About the covers.
I hope that we get.
I never saw that.
I hope we get.
I think that's the main issue.
Yeti. I'm predicting it now. We're going to get the Yeti.
Yeti?
Great intelligence.
See, this one would have upset me.
That's the cover
yeah,
I've only
that
seen.
One, yeah, that's the one that kind of gives
and
it
I
away.
Still didn't that's, realize. That's, oh wait, that's a Zarbi. Yeah. I couldn't tell.
No, that's
that
not
picture.
The Zarbi. That's the action, or is it a Zarbi?
No, that's a Zarbi.
I thought that was the big tentacle monster.
No,
that's
the ants.
It's the ants.
Oh, it is the ants. Okay, yeah.
No, I didn't notice that Cyberman in there. That's totally cool.
Yeah,
yeah. So, and behind okay. there is the Ice Warrior.
Very good. So thumbs up for this one, and
absolutely keep it up,
coming.
IDW.
All right, Sean. Will. What's coming up next on the schedule?
Well, next on the schedule, we do have a slight change in the programming. For Friday Night Who, this week, which is rapidly approaching now.
Yes.
We will still be doing... what are we doing?
The Leisure Hive.
The Leisure Hive, thank you.
Which is available on Netflix.
And is available on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, there's no reason for you not to join us and have some fun. Will you please open... Fighting with my computer.
Sorry. Oh.
Yeah. Not you. So we will have the Leisure Hive with Tom Baker on Friday Night Who, and then we will be reviewing that on our show. Now, originally, we were going to be reviewing Ish, Big Finish number 35, I think.
Seems right.
But we have bumped Ish, not because we don't love some Colin Baker, and the two Bakers being together in one show amused me, but because we are going to go into our 50th anniversary celebration of the first Doctor and William Hartnell, so we're going to be doing the new, just released, Big Finish, what is it called?
Shadow.
Hunters of Earth.
Oh, Hunters of Earth. I'm going to say Shadows of Earth. Hunters of Earth.
Hunters of Earth. And I don't know much about this yet, because I haven't listened to it. But
I haven't listened to it either. Quite frankly, I know it's a first Doctor story.
I believe
that's the extent I know.
Yeah, well, I believe that Susan, it's told from the perspective of two individuals, one of which is Susan. So I believe
similar to the
what's her name?
Caroline Ford.
Caroline Ford is involved in this in some way as well. And yeah, I think it's going to be similar to the Companion Chronicles where it's kind of recounted by the Companion.
Hmm.
So that's my impression of it anyway. And I don't know that much about it, but we'll find out when we listen to it. So
we'll find out when we listen to it this week, and you'll get our reviews on that next week. And that is just released. That just came out this week or last?
Earlier this month.
It came out in January. It came out mid-January, and then there'll be a second Doctor that'll come out in a couple of weeks.
Which we will attempt to review sometime in March.
March, correct. We'll be,
you know, 1 month behind everybody. So there's that. And then the following week, of course, is Galley. So with much, much big plans for Glenn and I there. Hopefully we're over the colds and not making people sick and getting all new viruses. And then Keith will be holding down the fort with Good Man Goes to War.
That's
and
right.
Probably Let's Kill Hitler.
Most likely.
For Friday night. And I don't know. We may or may not get to jump in on that. And then we've got Reign of Terror on the schedule. So I'm so excited.
I did order a cable for my Mac so that we can plug it into our big screen if we have one in our rooms. So.
Good.
Ooh, nice.
Hopefully it gets here. It's coming from Hong Kong. And
our big screen in our room.
For like a month now. But.
Our big screen in our room. You're so...
flat panel, you know. Bigger than this.
She's got to cart up a mini fridge.
Bigger than the three of us hovering around this little thing.
So, who's buying Reign of Terror, by the way?
Who is buying Reign of Terror?
It's probably discussed that.
I don't know.
Okay, then.
It'll be Keith, because we'll have spent lots of money.
That's true. I nominate you, Pikachu. You don't have any William Hartnell stories yet, do you?
Yes, I do.
Do you? Which one?
Time Meddler.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, about Time Meddler. Yeah. I forgot Time Meddler. Okay, so then that's coming up. And if you haven't yet voted on our Facebook page, I did put a blurb out there, and I'm not even going to be shy about it. I totally stole this idea from Verity. I've been listening to their podcast, and I've really been enjoying it.
I've listened to the first episode.
I keep up with it. They are some fantastic stuff going on over there, the Ladies of Verity podcast, and it is really, really good. But they had a very interesting show, I thought. I think it was their second one, where they kind of said, we want to discuss what is the best episode that reflect a specific Doctor's era. So, tied in with our celebration of William Hartnell, I threw a poll up on Facebook, and I'd be curious to know what everybody thinks. Now, this isn't the best episode. This isn't the favorite episode. This is what episode is
representative.
Best representative of that Doctor and that era. So, go and vote, because we'll be discussing that at some point in time down the road in our the month of February here.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, if that's going to do it for this week, until next week, I'm better.
I'm best. Where do you go with that joke?
How do I go higher than best?
I was sick at the beginning of the cast. Now I'm better.
You're better. Who's better? Who's best? The Who. Doctor Who. I'm Sean.
Third base.
I'm Keith.
Third base.
Truck stop.
I give up. Just end it. Just
cheers.
Just stop. Don't even sign off. Just end it right now. Just write mid-sentence. Just write. Don't even let me finish and get to the stopping point.
You have been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or is blocked.